This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
So, E.T.?
Well, if you look at the Shulgin Memorandum of 1947, there's actually two versions of it out there. And I go into dissecting this document in my book, Roswell and the Reich. And I spend a lot of time with it because there's two versions, one very self-evidently fraudulent. Because the fraudulent version is the version where you have phrases injected into the document that are pointing at E.T., but the original document doesn't mention E.T. at all. In fact, the original document, if anything, is more concerned about trying to figure out just exactly what the Nazis were up to during the war. So if you read the fraudulent document, you know, it reads, well, this is all E.T., and we need to go find out where the Horton brothers are. You know, and my reaction to that is, what? Say what? The Horton brothers, you know, the designers of the flying wing? You know, what have they got to do with this? But if you take all those phrases out and look at the document as Shulgin originally penned it, there's no mention of E.T. What there is there's mention of some exotic technology that they've encountered. You get the impression from the document that they suspect it's Nazi in origin, and we need to find out where the originators of some of this exotic-looking stuff are. And, you know, I'll tell you where they were. They were down in Argentina, you know, working on secret stuff for Juan Perón. So it's interesting if you really want to stop and do the analytical thinking for some of these documents that have been touted by the ET ufology crowd and really sit down and analyze them and use a little bit of common sense, they're telling you something very different from what the ET crowd wants you to say and accept about them. They're telling you that there's an aspect of Nazi technology that was hidden even to the high American brass after World War II, and they had to go out and find it and find out what was being done with it.
Wouldn't that be perfect fertile ground for societal manipulation to have everybody believe that it's actually ETs coming in flying craft around our skies as an effective smokescreen to hide exotic technology as it's being developed?
Exactly, and that concept there is why I say that is one of the reasons why I say I'm convinced for multiple reasons, but why I say that 90% of what people have been reporting as UFOs thinking it's ET, 90% of it's actually our own terrestrial classified technology.
Right. You know, we get the size argument many times with, you know, these large mile-wide triangular vehicles and so on. You know, I hear the size argument. Well, human beings couldn't possibly build anything that size. Well, you know, again, nonsense. Look at the Hindenburg. I mean, you know, that was built with 1930s technology. So imagine you can build a collapsible triangular balloon, fill it with a bunch of helium, and put electrical differential plates on the thing and a bunch of capacitors, and off you go. So, again, just apply a little common sense and allow your mind to do a little brainstorming in terms of engineering, and a lot of these arguments collapse. So you have to look at the physical clues in human science before you can leap to ET. And once you start doing that, I mean, my word, there's a website out there of just anti-gravity patents alone. Patents. In the public record, there's scores of from the 1950s on down to our own time. This is the stuff that hasn't been pulled for national security reasons. So, again, you have to put yourself in the frame of mind that philosophically, yeah, could there be ETs? Yeah. Could they be visiting here? Sure. But from an investigative point of view, from a theoretical point of view, do you want to go there first and initially? Well, no, the answer is no. Because if you go there initially, you're bypassing the very real possibility, as Walters pointed out with his NIMSA research, that this stuff actually begins to be researched and developed by humans in the 19th century, and it's continued ever since.
I bet you Stephen Greer and David Wilcock and those folks have not read your books, because if they had, I think they'd be a little bit more circumspect with some of the wild whistleblowers that they've trot out every 6 months claiming there's a space war with aliens and going on over our heads.
They won't read the books.
No,
that's
they won't.
The point. They will not read the books. These books are too inconvenient to their shtick.
And it's not only that. You mentioned something else, Chris, that's very important. You mentioned the term whistleblowers. I do not rely, and trust me, I've had several offers from people claiming to represent, be involved with this or that branch of the government. And my response has always been to eschew any invitations for inside knowledge or stories, because there's no way that any average person can verify these things.
Right.
I'm a researcher. I look at what's in the public record, and I attempt to analyze on that basis and speculate on that basis. And I admit I do, but it's at least an argued speculation rather than relying on somebody getting in front of a camera and saying, I'm a whistleblower. I used to work for such and such an agency, and I saw this. Because at best, this is hearsay testimony.
I'd like to throw in there, too, not just, you know, like Joseph said, the average person, but to be honest, even those of us who have been in, the, you know, that classified world, it's difficult for those people to even prove anything, thanks to compartmentalization, which, by the way, I'm not opposed to. Compartmentalization is how you maintain operational security.
Exactly.
But, you know, a lot of times people say, well, this guy, you know, he was this and he had that clearance. He can know all the answers. Well, you know, I'm one of those guys who had the clearance, and I've always been honest. I can't tell you that I know the whole picture. There's some things that, of course, I'm not going to talk about because they have to do with defense technology, and I'm by law committed to not talk about those details. But, you know, so before people jump to ET, they do need to consider that, you know, there is more likely a very terrestrial source and origin for these things. And I find that just as fascinating as is the ET hypothesis. I mean, think about it. That puts a whole new spin on human history that some people are taking a look at, and but a lot of people aren't, because ET is more fun.
Most people are falling for the manipulation, the pop culture programming mm-hmm. that's been rampant all the way back into the 40s, really. I think once these possibly exotic technologies were trotted out to see what kind of response they would get from the unsuspecting public, I think the powers that be instantly saw, hey, this could be a really good smokescreen cover
sure.
For these technologies and for these programs to allow people to just kind of fantasize and go into sci-fi land and think that we're being visited and the rest of it. Sure, there's probably millions, billions of civilizations out there in the cosmos.
Sure.
But like I've said so many times on this show, the very fact that they haven't visited here shows how intelligent they are. Because they would want to visit a place so, you know, so rotten and don't get me started.
You mean why would they want to visit here? Because
why would they want to visit such a primitive, unevolved, misogynist?
Oh, you know what? But that
destroying the ecosystem.
I don't buy into that. We're such terrible, unworthy. You know what? Here's my view. Those ET guys out there. You point to one that's so much better than us. You know, I tell people all the time, just because they might have developed a technology to get themselves from one planet or one star to the next. I mean, look at it. What do we develop most of our technology for? Primarily for warfare, right? For military.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what makes them any different? You know, just because they're able to come here from a far place doesn't suddenly bathe them in moral purification.
Yeah, I have to agree with Walter here. Just because you're technologically advanced, there's no logical connection between technological advancement and spiritual advancement.
Well, I was referring to this in the vernacular, the Benevolent Space Brother crowd.
Right,
I think
right,
that the
yeah.
thing that would be most attractive to an outside civilization would be the wonderful biodiversity here.
Right.
And we are the most detrimental thing to that environment, to this wonderful diversity.
Well, yeah, if they're benevolent space brothers, the argument holds. You know, why would they want to visit a planet like this?
If they are.
But that's, you know, that's the precise point. Are they benevolent? And you know, if you're tying the idea of advanced technology to ET, and if you suspect, like many do, that they've been around for a long time, since ancient times, you know, ancient astronaut theory and all of that, well, this is, again, a problem. Because if you go back to those ancient texts and look at those ancient texts as referring to those people, the problem is those ancient texts are talking about warfare and constant conflict and enslavement of humanity. So in other words, these were not a nice group of people.
Okay. More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. There's more money in treating symptoms. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You're on with Gene and Chris and Dr. Joseph Farrell and Walter Bosley. And Chris, you have something to pick up on.
I do. We have a question from Chuckleberry Finn, who posted at the question bank at forum.theparacast.com, where our listeners get a chance to ask our esteemed guests questions. And this one has to do with the whole concept of ultra-terrestrials, or as Mac Tones coined the term, crypto-terrestrials. Do you think there's any possibility of a link between a hidden tenant in the building and this so-called breakaway civilization?
My quick answer is yes, I think there's a possibility, and that's what I'm exploring in my new book that I'm working on. And I'll throw it to Joseph.
Well, I definitely think there is. We can't narrow our thinking, at least at this stage, in my opinion, to just the idea of extraterrestrials. I think the possibility definitely exists that if there was a very, very high ancient civilization, that if it blew itself apart, at least some of those people may have decided to go underground, maybe underwater, who knows. But we have to at least admit the possibility. The other thing you ask is, could they be in the building, so to speak? Could they be part of the breakaway civilization? That, to me, is one of the most interesting questions in all of this. If you look at the ancient texts, if indeed we're dealing with another group of people in the gods and so on, what's very self-evident from the text is that they look like us and walk like us. All right. In other words, they're kind of our genetic cousins. There's another group out there in the genus Homo sapiens that may be Homo sapiens Sophia or something, you know, some species slightly different from humanity. And if they look like us and walk like us, could they be therefore infiltrating us? Well, the answer is yes. And I think this is perhaps, if you want to speculate wildly here for a moment, this is perhaps why you see so many companies, including government agencies like the FBI, getting on the bandwagon and supporting the development of technologies that allow you to do genetic sequencing in the field and on the spot. In other words, you don't have to wait days to send off a genome to a laboratory. You'll know pretty much the entire genome from a field test. Well, why would you develop a technology like that? Well, one reason might be if you suspect that there are genetic cousins among us, the only way you're going to be able to tell the difference is to do a sequencing of their entire genome and comparing it to the human. And I think that's definitely a possibility that you have to hold open as to why these technologies are being developed and promoted so fast, and particularly by government agencies. So yeah, am I alive to the crypto-terrestrial possibility? You betcha. Yeah.
Here's a couple of more questions from Chuckleberry Finn. Love the name. Been a long time poster since 2007 at forum.theparacast.com, where you can ask questions of our guests. And he's wondering, is there any sort of infrastructure of this breakaway civilization in the world today that we actually can see? And he adds, or has Berkshire Hathaway already purchased all the prime real estate? So is there any place you can go and possibly get a glimpse of this? And please, I don't think you're going to say Area 51, but if you're going to, don't.
I'm not going to say that. I think this would be a good answer for Walter to jump in here initially, and then I'll pick up from where he leaves it.
Well, I would say look to your stories of anything where the government, particularly the military, has been doing anything underground. That's what I've been diving into the last month or so more deeply in what I'm researching for the next book, because if you look at that, and if you look at the money trail, which should be familiar to Joseph's readers and my more recent readers, you will also see evidence of things that have to do with places here on the planet that, you know, most people aren't going to have access to or can't gain access to. I would say look at the moon, too. You know, there's all sorts of stories about what's really going on the moon, and I think there's something to that idea of, you know, what's really up there, who's really up there, what are they really doing. So, yeah, if you look in corners and in places that might seem mundane, I think you're going to find clues. Now, as far as, you know, some physical landmark where you can point to it, I doubt that. I mean, you're talking for the most part a civilization, a group of people, whatever, that have been around for a very long time, and they're well deeply embedded, well hidden. But even, you know, any modern access, you might say, I just, again, I go back to look at what the restricted areas are doing, look where they're at, and that's your best possibility, I think.
Yeah, and it you're constantly almost forced to look underground. Of course, we all know Richard Sauder's underground bases and tunnels. What is the government trying to hide? He combed through, I think, 40 years of appropriations bills to find funding for the about 130 facilities that we know are there, and he couldn't find a penny.
And so, excellent research, I might add.
I'll be
talking about this in the new book. You know, people ask, you know, who before Richard Dolan might specifically have been, you know, finding this stuff, and I would argue that Sauder's work is the one guy I can immediately point to that really he was coming across this stuff big time.
Yeah, and I agree. Here's an interesting question again from Chuckleberry Finn. Does the breakaway civilization have its own system of government, its own laws, elected officials, and the rest? Of course, that's kind of hard to answer, but can anyone who is not a citizen of the breakaway civilization marry into it? If so, why haven't we seen any paparazzi photos of Scarlett Johansson walking hand in hand with David Rockefeller, the Queen of England? Who wants to tackle that one?
I think if you're talking in terms of civilization, and particularly in the sense that Dolan first proposed the idea, that the answer to that question has to be yes, because the idea of a civilization implies certain cultural norms, certain types of behavior. It implies a certain kind of hierarchy within it. Certainly, if we're maintaining the idea that this thing evolves from decades of Black Projects research, is also going to have its own command structure, its own way of handling things like compartmentalization and so on and so forth. So my answer to that would be absolutely yes. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that it would have the ability to marry into it? My suspicion is, and has been all along, that this civilization, let's go back to the Nazis here for a moment. If you look at what they were doing in their underground bunkers and laboratories and factories and so on, they essentially had a two-tiered society.
Got more to come with Joseph Farrell and Jean and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
And even we've got Walter Bosley, but Joseph Farrell was in the middle of a long explanation here, and I didn't want to ignore Walter, but here we go.
Well, yeah, if you look at the Nazis, you're dealing with essentially a two-tiered breakaway civilization. You've got the SS people that are running it. You've got their technocrats, their scientists, and so on, that are doing the actual nuts and bolts research and so on. And then you've got all the slave labor that is actually building it for them. And I strongly suspect that this breakaway group has a similar structure. In other words, there are the technocrats, the scientists, the managers, and so on of all these different projects. You've got the military people providing security, intelligence, and so on. And then you would probably have a vast amount of let's call them worker bees that are assembling this stuff. And you're going to bring in a few people and you're going to make it possible for them, you know, to marry and so on and so forth. But I think that will be strictly controlled. In other words, can someone from outside marry into this and be a part of it? Chances are highly unlikely. But could this happen within this group? Sure, absolutely. I think that's a given.
What comes to my mind, too, coming from my background in career in counterintelligence and counterespionage, take a look at how, for example, because these are the people and the organizations I worked for many years, take, for example, how the, you know, the Russian intelligence services worked, okay? They would come into, you know, for example, the United States, and they would establish, their little group within their, you know, their State Department, you know, like all nations do with their spies, or their front company, you know, usually some type of trade, vague, ambiguous trade company thing. And it's actually a group of spies. Now, the way the Russians did it, the Soviets did it, in their junior staff, quite frankly, they hired young females, okay? Part of the duties of those young females were to be available to the male operatives. This is not theory. This is fact. I know some people aren't going to like even the mention of that kind of thing. Well, that's what the Soviets did. I know this. Anybody who worked in counterintelligence knows this. I would venture to say that a breakaway outfit would do a very similar thing. They would make sure that they would have a good mix of male and female, and they would encourage the you know, within the group, the inner group liaison and relationship, and that's how they do it. Because think about it, all these people are vetted already, security-wise. So, you know, that's the way I see that they would do it.
There's a show on television called The Americans, which deals exactly with that
stuff. Oh, there you go. That was that kind of scenario was what part of, you know, my life was about for the years that I worked, you know, in the end of the last years of the Cold War for the FBI and such. You know, that kind of thing is a reality. And we do it, too.
Yeah. Well, here's a question I'm not sure who it's being asked of, so we'll have you both answer it. This comes from Cyan Flosser, who's been, again, a long-time poster at the Question Bank at forum.theparacast.com. Have either of you been threatened or warned not to continue researching breakaway civilizations, Nazi technology, or ancient advanced civilizations?
I've been introduced to, you know, individuals in a way that they kind of made it known that they were aware of my activities while I was investigating my Empire of the Wheel stuff.
Oh,
but of course, if you've read my Empire of the Wheel stuff, you know that it went into the breakaway civilization issue with the second book, with what I discovered that I put in the second book. Now, for the longest time, I didn't take that as a connection specifically to we're watching what you're doing on breakaway civilization. I took it as we're watching what you're doing on this local San Bernardino Valley mystery. But in retrospect, I began to see that, you know, hey, this probably has its links to breakaway stuff.
I've had a little strange stuff happen to me ever since I began to write these types of books all the way back with the Giza Death Star. I have never been specifically warned off or threatened in any sort of verbal way. There was an incident when I was living in South Dakota where muggings were happening locally, you know, in Spearfish, South Dakota, of all places. And these were happening to people that were acquaintances of mine, and they kept getting closer to me, and they weren't being reported in any of the local media. You know, I was looking at the developing pattern, and I mentioned this to a couple of friends of mine, and they said, you need to get out of there. And so I actually moved because of these events, because they were getting closer to me. But in terms of an actual warning or anything like that, no.
Overt,
nothing like that has ever happened.
Well, I should probably add, too, that, you know, people talk about the men in black. I was visited by a man in beige.
That was his summer wear.
I was going to say, well, forget it.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, out of all the years that I spent digging into, you know, undocumented, unexplained military activity, the possible flying around of exotic human technology, that sort of thing, I never had any reason to think that I was being monitored or had, except for one event. But this guy showed up at my house when I was in the midst of working with a whistleblower on an underground facility that was supposedly in the region. And this guy, he came right out and said, you know, don't you think there's some things that you're starting to get into that most people just don't have a need to know? Maybe you should start questioning your motivation. And I said, well, if you had shown up with a Samsonite filled with used $100 bills or given my band a major record deal or a major publishing deal for my writing, then maybe, I'd have something to kind of put my attention on. But he was doing NLP power moves and stuff. It was actually a little frightening. he was a director in the K Street organization called the Institute for Social Architecture.
Oh.
Which, I found very interesting. I was the only person out of the hundreds that traipsed through the house over an 8-year period that my girlfriend went ballistic when he was leaving.
You know what the Institute for Social Architecture is connected to, don't you?
No.
MK Ultra.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I still have his business card. He actually gave me a card. And, you know, when he was doing the NLP moves on me, I instantly recognized what he was doing. And, you know, I kind of got a little miffed about it, but I immediately dropped my research into the underground base scenario.
Yeah, funny thing, Matt, right?
Yeah, it's interesting how it worked out. All of a sudden, some other cases occurred that took my attention to other places. But he was in beige. You don't hear about the men in beige. You hear about the men in black, but not the guys in beige.
That's right. Well, you know, of course, after Labor Day, they go back to the black suits. But that's a fashion joke. The interesting... I totally forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead, guys. I'm sorry. I forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
That was a real showstopper.
Yeah, I know. Gene, you might have to edit that part out. It was a good point that Chris brought up about something that... yes. Now I remember. I remember. You know, when you talk about cases, and Joseph and I have talked about this, you know, and Greg Bishop and I have talked about this, when you talk about people like... bring up Danny Casolaro and you know, others who have been, you know, or more Dr. Jessup and stuff. And, you know, Casolaro, to my knowledge, he was warned, you know, and they don't just strike you. They do give you a warning, like Chris kind of, you know, got the subtle warning. And they'll warn you more than once. They'll say, hey, you're getting too close to something. You might not want to do that. Hey, you might want to back off. Or, hey, knock it off.
I'll tell you what, we're getting too close to the commercials. And we don't want to back it off. It's Walter Bosley, Joseph Farrell, Gene, and Chris. You're in.
The Bearcast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective, clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
That's Angry Chris. We have Grumpy Chris. We have all sorts of versions of Chris. We have Pregnant Chris, because he doesn't like the caricature that RPJ did for him, and we're going to slim him down. We're going to give him Ultra Slim Fast, at least the picture. We have one more segment, folks. Let's move really fast here, because we're running out of time. Anyone want to finish the answer, and let's move on.
Basically, what I was getting to was that a lot of people, they don't understand, you know, like when Chris gets what I take that as kind of a warning or whatever. If I got something like that of Joseph, we're smart enough to not end up like these guys who they find dead and, you know, suicided in a bathtub. You know, if somebody comes to me and tells me, communicates to me, you're in danger by going down this road, I ain't going down that road anymore. You live to fight another day on another battlefield.
Well, having the rhetorical, you know, question about, you know, don't you think you should question your motivations, and don't you think there's some things that people just don't have a need to know? I agreed with him. Yeah, there are some things that people don't have a need to know that don't really have to do with anything that is going to do anything but compromise existing projects that really
– sure. There's that too.
You know, if you want to dig into that, it's at your own peril. I mean, there was no explicit, overt warning there, but I definitely picked up on the hint, especially when the NLP stuff was going on. I knew I was not dealing with just some casual reader who wanted to pick my brain. This guy was there for a reason. I just kind of took the subtle advice. I think events kind of happened, and my whistleblower, my militia group member disappeared. Was one of the things that happened, and I didn't want to join him in whatever well that.
Well, there you go, and that's my point. You're savvy enough. You didn't need the overt, you know, Rocco and Knuckles coming out to pay you a visit at midnight. You know, you're smart enough to pick up on the subtleties of it, and you don't want to get anywhere near when Rocco and Knuckles show up. Yeah. So you'll gladly take the insinuation from the beige suit guy before you have to be visited by the black suit guy. That's
exactly.
But right now, don't the Rocco and Knuckles personages come forth with oriental faces?
You mean in the historical stories about the Men in Black? Or
I mean right now. I don't think it's all Anglo-Saxons anymore or Italians anymore.
Well, right. There have been cases, yeah, Gene, where they've been described as being swarthy Orientals. So.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That goes back a long time in the history of these kind of cases, too. So, you know, that's – who are they? See, now you're kind of getting into a strange Gray Barker, John Keel, Jacques Vallée kind of place when you get into that.
Let's just mention here, Nick Redfern has just come out with a book on the women in black.
Ah, yes. I'm anxious to get to that one because that one's intriguing.
Well, here, let's hit another question real quick before we run out of time. Again, this is from Cyan Flosser. And this is a good question because I've always wondered about how the lunar module blasted off the moon. Do you think unacknowledged technology used in acknowledged aircraft could be fed to the aviation contractors by, let's say, a breakaway civilization? For example, the B-2 bombers, I add the word alleged, use of electric gravitics or whatever technology actually lifted the Apollo program lunar modules off the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and I think Joseph can answer that in much better detail.
Yeah, I've always suspected that something like this is going on. I think what's happening in terms of the public technology is you're seeing a slow, deliberate, and planned release of some of these things. Most recently, I think a couple of years ago, Lockheed released pictures of its small little fusion reactor, which interestingly enough looks amazingly like a patent of Philo Farnsworth from the 1960s for precisely such a small fusion reactor. I think these things are being deliberately leaked, so it doesn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if you'd have technologies like that being grafted onto otherwise conventional aircraft and seeded into the industry. As far as Apollo goes, you know, I argued all the way back in SS Brotherhood of the Bell that, to my mind, there probably was some sort of exotic technology that was available, made available for the Vernier excursion module to get it off the moon. Absolutely.
Having said that, here's a question from Blowfish, who's one of our real steady posters at forum.theparacast.com. What are your thoughts of the late Philip Corso and his book on Roswell and, you know, his allegations that, you know, advances in technology were salted into the public sector?
Corso, I have misgivings about. Corso, I've always suspected, is following a kind of a double agenda. If you look at his claims of what has been salted into industry, the things that he's talking about are not really anything that would have necessarily an ET provenance. I spent a lot of time in Roswell and the Reich dealing with his four claims about lasers, about semiconductor chips, and so on and so forth, and drawing Nazi parallels. But I do think there is an element of truth to what Corso is saying, and the most obvious thing is, if you read his book carefully, when he talks about ET, oftentimes in the very same context, and in a few cases, in the very next sentence, he will be pointing the finger at the Nazis. So in other words, I think Corso is kind of a bit of a clever disinformation agent. He's giving you just enough truth and he's giving you just enough information so that if you really go out and want to research his book, you'll see that the Nazi clues he's giving you actually do pan out.
Let me ask you quickly, we only have a minute or two left. Drop me a couple of bones here. What kind of Nazi clues?
All right. He mentions as one of the technologies that we got from a crashed and recovered craft at Roswell, and therefore ET in his explanation in the book, is the semiconductor chip, the idea of the transistor.
That's preposterous. I mean, Shockley
in
Bell Labs, I mean, there's an eminent evidence chain.
There is an eminent evidence chain as far as it goes. But he points out that the chain of reasoning of science behind the rise of transistors isn't so clear. Now, I point out in Roswell and the Reich, a little klystron tube that was invented by the German firm Telefunken in 1940, and it's about as big as the last knuckle on your little finger, all right? The Allied equivalent of this vacuum tube at the end of the war was 10 times bigger. So in other words, the Germans were miniaturizing things at an extraordinary rate. Now let's deal with semiconductors and transistors. The Germans had a semiconductor chip industry very primitive. They were producing these things in the 1940s. So there's the part of the transistor and the transistor development chain that is missing from your standard history. So in other words, there's another Nazi connection you need to look at when you look at Torso's claims for exotic technologies.
You know, we agree that they'll use things like UFOs, you know, to cover for stuff that they've done, and they'll use various dialogues to cover for things. You know, the well-pedigreed history, Chris, that you mentioned with the transistors, you have to remember that might have been part of the legend we were told that, oh, that's how it developed, and it didn't start before then, when actually it did have its roots.
That's my point. Back. Yeah. That's my point.
Joseph Farrell, can you tell our listeners where we can find more of your stuff?
My website, www.ezadeathstar.com. I've got a web store there with all my books and blogs and stuff.
Walter, where do we find your stuff?
You can find me at Amazon.com at my author's page. Just put my name in, and you can find me at empireofthewheel.blogspot.com.
Read all these books.
That's an order. You can also find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast on Twitter. Look for Two Paracast Fan Clubs on Facebook. Look for the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We offer the After the Paracast podcast with all sorts of great stuff, like last week's surprise appearance with the ever outspoken George Wingfield. We also offer the ad-free version of this show, commercial-free, free of the network ads, with better quality audio. We are presenting right now the first of a number of chapters of the book from Chris O'Brien and Ray Stanford called And My Dog Sings Chopin. Lots more at plus.theparacast.com for low subscription fee, plus.theparacast.com. Joseph Farrell, Walter Bosley, thank you both for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks for having me back, Gene.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.